Now there are variants of gifts, but of the same Spirit, and there are variants of service, but of the same Lord, and there are variants of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone to teach is given the manifestation of the Spirit to the common good. For to one is given, though the Spirit is the utterance of wisdom, to another is the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by another the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who appoints to each one individually as he wills.
All right, thank you, McCoy. And you may be seated. I'll invite you to bow your heads with me as we prepare to reflect upon that at this time. Well, Father, again today we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to gather. And we thank you for the series we've been hearing on why the church is so important and why you have given to us the church. And we pray that as we listen once again today, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our eyes to this great gift that you have given to us, and that you would encourage us and motivate us to make use of this blessing at every opportunity that we get. So thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know it's only the end of September, and I keep teasing Darcy as we look at the church calendar that Christmas, it's already done, isn't it? I mean, the way the year blows by, it feels like Christmas is on top of us and in that it's already passed. But again, it's only the very end of September. And I don't know about it at your house, but at my house, my kids, and I mean specifically the younger kids, they have been starting to ask me more and more frequently, "Dad, how far away is Christmas?" I don't know if you're starting to get those questions as well. And again, just to remind you kids back there, 3 more months. We're almost there. 3 more months. And I know at least one of my older kids has been seriously pondering what gifts to ask for this Christmas already as well. Now, even though many of us bemoan the fact that at Christmas time there's so much emphasis placed upon gifts, and even though we are very adamant at reminding people that there's much more to Christmas than gifts. It's about Jesus. It's about the salvation that God has provided for us. I think it's also safe to say that we all enjoy receiving gifts, don't we? We enjoy it when our friends and when our loved ones give to us a gift at Christmas time. We love it when they give to us a gift perhaps on our birthday. We love it when they give us a gift that's just completely unexpected, for which really there's no real occasion. They just give it to us. Now, thinking back to childhood, and I think this is true for all of you, we can remember the joy of receiving gifts as kids, can't we? We were so excited for Christmas. We were so excited for our birthday because we knew what it meant. We knew that with the coming of Christmas, with our birthday, it meant receiving gifts from other people. And not just receiving gifts, but receiving lots of gifts from lots of different people. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, friends. We knew all of those gifts were coming to us during those various seasons. And thinking back to my childhood, I can remember doing exactly what my kids do during those occasions. I remember gathering for Christmas with my extended family, and I remember asking repeatedly, "When are we going to open gifts?" And Mom and Dad would have to tell me over and over again, "Not until after dinner." And dinner, of course, it seemed to take forever because the grown-ups just wouldn't shut up. They just kept talking and talking and talking. And of course, some of the men were in the other room yelling at the TV as they were watching the football game. Now, even though, yes, we do enjoy receiving gifts as adults, it's also a little bit different. And it's a little bit different because it's not only the gift itself that we enjoy. It's also the fact that somebody thought of us. It's the fact that somebody took their time and their money and went out and specifically thought of us by purchasing this gift for us. And we recognize their gift as an expression of their love and concern for us, which quite honestly, as adults, we appreciate much more than the gift itself, don't we? And most of us, of course, as we grow, not only do we enjoy receiving gifts, but we enjoy giving gifts to others. As a parent, and I think it's true of most of you, the most enjoyable aspect of Christmas is not receiving the gifts that are given to me, but giving them to others. What I enjoy most is watching the kids open the gifts that Sherry and I have purchased for them. I enjoy watching them throughout the day as they make use of these gifts. And the same is true of the gifts that we give to others as well. Now this morning, as we continue our look at why we need the church, this is one of the things that we see. We see that God has given to us gifts. Now these gifts, they're a little bit different. Of course, they're not wrapped up in colorful paper. They don't have a bow on top. We don't find them underneath a tree, but they are gifts nonetheless. However, the interesting thing that we find as we look at the scripture passage that was read for you today is that the gifts that we receive from God are not primarily for ourselves. They're not a blessing for us as much as they are a gift for others. And we see that God then in turn gives gifts to other people, which wind up being a great blessing to us. Once again, look with me at the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. And starting in verse 4, he says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So again, according to the Apostle Paul, there are varieties of gifts. In other words, there are differing gifts. There are various gifts that God distributes to the people of the church. And so what we find is that how God blesses us and what we have to offer the church, they are not one and the same. We're not carbon copies of one another. We don't come from the same cookie cutter. Our abilities differ from those of others in the church. And although we are oftentimes left wondering, why aren't people a little bit more like me? We find out that in the end, this is a huge blessing for us. I mean, just imagine with me for a moment if we all had the same gifting from God, if we all had the same abilities. For example, if we were all pastors, just think how many blessings we would miss out on. And also imagine how many sermons you'd have to listen to. Just imagine that if we were all encouragers. Now, that might be great on one level because we would all be encouraged all the time, but we would be missing out on so many other blessings and so many other gifts. And in the same way, if we were all leaders, well, then who would we lead, right? First of all. And second of all, we would be missing out on so many other blessings that God has in store for us. Yet even though there are varieties of gifts, Paul tells us, they are all empowered by the same God. In other words, he is the source of each and every one of our gifts. They're not inherent to us. They're not natural abilities and talents that we just inherently possess. Each and every one of them are a blessing of God. In fact, if we go back, and I know, again, I hate to bring this in because most of you don't no Greek or Hebrew or anything like that. But if we go back to the original language in which this was written, which is Greek, the word that is translated gift, it comes from the root word which means grace. And so what this tells us is that these gifts, these activities, are freely and graciously given to us by God. So they are not deserved by us or earned by us in any way. And so this tells us that those who possess the more visible gifts, that those who possess the gifts that may appear to be more glamorous than the others, they're not more deserving than other people. They're not better than other people in the church. Their gift is a grace. It's an undeserved gift given to them by God so that He can in turn bless us through them. And these gifts, he tells us, are apportioned as He wills, as God wills. So in other words, we can't decide which of the gifts that we are going to possess. We can't decide that we're going to be a prophet. We can't decide that we're going to be a worker of miracles, a teacher, or an administrator. Nor can we go out and acquire these gifts on any way by ourselves. This is something that is determined by God Himself. Oops, I'm getting ahead of myself there. We often wonder, of course, why God blesses one person in one way and why He blesses us in another. Sometimes we may feel a sense of pride because of the gifts and the abilities that we have received. And sometimes we have the opposite feelings. We may feel bad about the gifts and the abilities that we possess. But again, we can't see or understand why God blesses one person in one way and why He blesses us in another. And quite frankly, as we look at what Scripture has to tell us, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's God who has given us these gifts and it's God who has called us to use them. So again, there's no basis for pride when it comes to the gifts that we have received. There's no reason to feel bad if we feel that we have been gifted in a lesser way. We must simply receive the gift that God has entrusted to us and use that gift for His glory. And I say this because, again, as we look at this passage that we are studying today, these gifts are not intended for us alone. The gifts that God has blessed us with, they're not intended to bless us alone. The Apostle Paul tells us that these gifts are given for the common good. So just because it's given to us doesn't mean it's ours. It's intended for the church as a whole. Now again, stop and think about this with me for a minute. You know, God, He's gifted me and called me as a pastor, and while this might benefit me to a point, it's really intended more for you. Now, yes, I might be blessed as I dig into God's Word and as I study His Word and as I prepare to share with you on a regular basis, but the real blessing is for the church as they hear God's Word being preached and taught. And in the same way, maybe you are gifted musically. Maybe God has gifted you with a beautiful voice, or maybe He's given you the ability to play instruments beautifully. And you may even enjoy using these gifts for your own pleasure. You may enjoy sitting at home and just playing the piano by yourself. You might find that relaxing. You might enjoy singing in the car or the shower, you know, as you're going throughout your day. And so, yes, it's a blessing for you. But it's much more of a blessing when you share it with others. It's much more of a blessing when you use your abilities to perhaps lead the church in worship or just to inspire the congregation with a beautiful, beautiful song. Or perhaps you're simply gifted to serve. You're gifted to do a lot of that, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff that very few people see or notice. You cook and you clean and you organize. And even though you may feel less talented than others, even though you may feel that you got the short end of the stick when it comes to spiritual gifts, these are great blessings for the church as a whole. In fact, they're absolutely indispensable. So again, our gifts are intended for the church as a whole. They are intended to bless the church as a whole. They're not blessings that we can hoard and from which we can benefit in that sort of way. And so, as I've mentioned already, our gifts are not to be a source of pride for us. They are not to be a source of arrogance. Whatever gift God has given is to be used in the service of others. It is to be used to bless the church as a whole. And then Paul, and we didn't read it, but if you look beyond our passage in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul goes on to give us a picture of how this looks. And he describes the church as a body. He pictures Christ as the head, and each one of us, he says, is a different part of the body, exercising a different function. Now, when we think of this in relation to our physical body, it's easier to understand. We all have eyes to see, and we have ears to hear. We have a mouth to speak. We have feet to walk. We have hands to work. We have a nose to smell. We have teeth to chew, right? And each of these functions, they bless and benefit the body as a whole. So if the feet didn't have the eye, yes, they could still walk, but it would be a lot harder to get around, wouldn't it? If we didn't have teeth to chew our food, we would likely miss out on much of the nourishment that's needed by the rest of the body. And if we didn't have hands, it would be so much harder to brush our teeth, to feed ourselves, or to work to provide for our body everything that it needs to sustain itself. And in the same way, in the church, we have those who speak words of wisdom, Paul points out to us. We have those who possess words of knowledge. We have those who possess an extraordinary faith to carry them and others through times of difficulty. We have those with the gift of healing. We have those with the gift of performing miracles. We have those who speak the word of God. We have those who can speak in other languages and those who are able to interpret those tongues for us. And these gifts that are mentioned by Paul in our lesson for today, they're only a small number of the gifts that are available to the church. There are many more mentioned throughout the rest of Scripture. But again, the whole point is that God has given us a different function so that we can bless the church as a whole. So really, his big overall point that he is making in this passage is simply that we all need each other. We need the gifts that are given to other members of the body of Christ. And we cannot consider anyone, we cannot consider any gift unnecessary to us. He goes on to say something very similar in Romans chapter 12. And this one we haven't looked at yet, but starting in verse 4 of that chapter, Paul again says this: "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." So here Paul says that although our gifts differ, we are individually members of one another. And this flies in the face of our Lone Ranger Christian mentality. It flies in the face of our Jesus and me mentality. The simple fact of the matter is that I am not just fine on my own. The simple fact of the matter is that I need more than Jesus and me. The simple fact of the matter is that I belong to the church and that the church belongs to me. And we belong to the church because we are one body together with them. We belong to them because our gifts are meant for the church as a whole, and they belong to us for the very same reason. So withdrawing from the church, it denies the rest of the body of Christ of gifts that God intends for them to receive. And it denies us of many blessings that God intends for us to receive. And for this reason, he encourages us to make use of those gifts that we have been given. He encourages us to use them in proportion to our faith. However, the emphasis here, it's not on the quantity of faith as though it could be measured. What this means is that we are to use our gifts in accordance with our faith. We are to use them in relation to our faith. The use of our gifts, in other words, it flows from our faith in Christ. We serve others with the gift that God has given to us, not to earn brownie points with God, but because of the fact that we trust Him and that we believe in Him, that we have received His salvation. The use of our gifts, it's the fruit of our faith. It's something that flows naturally from that faith that we possess in Jesus. So when we come together with the church, we are able to receive these blessings, these gifts that have been given to us by God. Again, getting back to that theme at the beginning, you know, giving presents and receiving presents. When we come to church, when we're active in church, we receive many different gifts from God every single week that are given to us through other members of the body of Christ. Now, as I mentioned a few weeks back, even though this includes Sunday worship, what we're doing here right now, that's not the only time that I'm referring to. It also includes as we gather together for a Bible study or for a small group within the church. It happens as we gather together for fellowship, just as we're drinking coffee and eating goodies and chatting around the table. We're able to receive these blessings as we perhaps go out to lunch with other members of the church or invite other people into our home. We are simply referring to our regular gathering together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Someone, you know, they might have the gift of encouragement, and as we gather with them, our spirits are lifted. Someone may have the gift of teaching, and so as we come together with them, we might be enabled to see something that we have been missing as we've read the Word of God on our own. Someone may have the gift of wisdom, and as we gather together with them, we are given insight when it comes to dealing with a difficulty in our life. However, if we fail to come together with the church, if we, I don't know, decide to stay in bed or go fishing, and I hope nobody's doing that today, it'd be a pretty nasty day, but if we skip church, we're going to miss out on these gifts. They're not going to be available to us. We're going to miss out on these blessings that are intended for us by God. We'll miss out on that encouragement that we so desperately need. We'll miss out on that word of wisdom that we may be in need of. We'll miss out on that teaching that's absent from our life and from our faith at this point in time. And just as we enjoy giving gifts to others, just as we enjoy watching them open those gifts and making use of them, we should also enjoy using our gifts to bless others in the church. We're unable to be a blessing to others when we stay away from church. We're unable to see their joy as God blesses them through us and through our gifts. And so again, when we stay away from church, others miss out on blessings that He wants to give to them through us. And I don't know about you, but as I stop and think about this, as I think about my connection with the church over the course of my life, I can think of so many people who have been blessings to me in so many different ways. Some of my early Sunday school teachers stand out in my mind. The youth workers who helped with our youth group as I was growing up, they stand out in my mind. My childhood pastor stands out in my mind as a tremendous blessing in my life. Members of the small group of which my family was a part, they were instrumental in my faith. And moving on into adulthood, I can name so many others. My college pastors, the leaders of campus ministries of which I was a part, just friends who have been a part of my life and who have encouraged my faith over the course of the years. And there are more people than I can even mention. And I'm just thankful that God made them a part of my life. I am thankful that God used them and their gifts as He did. I am thankful that God blessed me through each one of them. And while I say this, I know I can't even fathom how many blessings that God has given to me through the church. I realize that others have blessed me in ways that I can't even recall. Others have blessed me in ways that maybe I just overlooked or took it for granted, but they were always there. Or he has blessed me through people, perhaps they were just humble enough that they never sought to draw attention to themselves. But whatever the case, they were there. They were a constant in my life, using their gifts for the glory of God and for my blessing. And I can speak to that myself. I mean, even though ministry has its challenging moments, even though over the course of the years there have been times I just wanted to quit and throw in the towel, I generally love doing what I do. I can't see myself doing anything different. It's a joy to share with you the gifts that God has given to me. And my prayer is that each one of you in the church find just as much joy using the gifts that God has given to you to serve me and to serve other members of the church as a whole. So again, the church is necessary. And it's necessary because as we gather together with the body of Christ, we are blessed in many different ways. We're blessed as we hear the gospel. We're blessed as we are assured of the forgiveness of our sins. We are blessed as we hear God's word taught and explained. And we also receive the gifts of God through all of the other members of the body of Christ who gather together with us. But we also have to realize, and this is a problem in today's society, it's not all about us, right? We don't come to church only for what we can receive from others. It's just as much about what we can give to the church. It's about allowing ourselves to be used by God to bless the lives of others. It's about using the gifts that God has given to us to touch the lives of others, and it's about doing so both willingly and joyfully. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this reminder. And Lord, for most of us, this isn't anything new. It's something we have heard many times before. But it's something of which we need to be reminded. And we need to be reminded of this truth because our tendency is to think that as long as we have you, that's all we need. We tend to think that the church, yeah, it's okay, but it's not necessary. And we thank you for the reminder that, Lord, yes, the church is necessary. They are necessary in our life of faith. And we pray that you would help us to realize this each and every day of our lives. Help us to lean upon the church that we might receive the gifts that you have provided to us through other people in the congregation. And also to help us to understand how much the other members of the church truly need us and the gifts that you have provided to them through us. And we ask all of this today in Jesus' name. Amen.